Snow and wind bring the Northeast to a halt, but Mother Nature may not be the only one to blame.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. We're all supposed to be heading back to work today after the holiday weekend. But if you're anywhere from the Carolinas to Maine, good luck. That huge snowstorm has halted planes, trains, and automobiles on one of the busiest travel days of the year. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is live with us now. He's on the Blizzard beat. Hi, Mitchell.
Hi, Jeremy.
So tell us first about the impact on transportation in the Northeast so far.
Well, the New York airports have all been closed. At least 2,000 flights canceled on the East Coast. Amtrak stopped service from New York all the way to Maine. It's just a mess.
And it's a mess, Mitchell, that we hear about, it seems, at least a couple of times every year. Is there anything that ought to be done infrastructure-wise to make this kind of blizzard less of a travel impediment?
Well, in terms of air traffic, Jeremy, really there are two issues here: capacity and cost. You know, many of these big airports are already over capacity. At JFK, you have 350 flights a day. That's one every few minutes. Then you add extreme weather. Here's London-based airline analyst Larry Price.
We do not have any contingency or resilience in the system to allow us to deal with events such as very, very heavy snowstorms. What do we invest in for these one-off events in order to maintain the integrity of the system? And inevitably, there's a balance to be struck.
So there's a balance to be struck, Mitchell. How are the airports doing in terms of striking that balance today?
Well, you know, it's a good question. After 9/11, airports basically stopped spending on almost anything except security. Since then, though, some of them have kind of gotten religion on snow removal because the cost of not doing it fast and effectively is so high. So Denver International, for instance, which sure gets plenty of snow, they've spent millions on new plows, new snow melters. They now have elaborate plans for which runways are crucial to keep open and which to abandon to the snow.
All right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Well, after 70 years of getting into and out of trouble, comic strip character and ace reporter Brenda Starr is preparing to leave the comics page for good. Brenda files her final story next Sunday. From Chicago Public Radio, Tony Arnold reports now on what her departure means for the business of newspaper comic strips.
When she was created in 1940, Brenda Starr was groundbreaking. She was female, sassy, and had a love life.
In Brenda's heyday, she was everywhere. She was huge. She was Lady Gaga.
Mary Schmeek took over writing the Brenda Starr strip in 1985, but she says Starr and similar strips have now had their day.
I think it is really difficult in a modern newspaper to sustain a storyline strip, a soap opera strip, where you have to follow it every day.
Lucy Shelton Caswell is the curator of a cartoon museum affiliated with Ohio State University. She says newspaper editors should be using their comics pages to entice young readers.
If you only have comic strips that are X years old that don't appeal to young readers, then you shouldn't be surprised that they don't buy your paper or read you online.
And the editors have to find those future buyers, or their papers may go the way of Brenda Starr. In Chicago, I'm Tony Arnold from Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now in Europe and Asia. China raised interest rates over the weekend. It's the second boost in just over 2 months as Beijing tries to cool inflation. Oil prices are bubbling up there at a two-year high. Wall Street was closed on Friday, but on Thursday, the Dow gained 14 points to close at 11,573. That is also the highest close in more than 2 years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at massmutual.com.
Well, another Christmas is over, so what are you going to do with that tree and all that crumpled up wrapping paper? Well, before you chuck it all, we've asked our sustainability reporter, Adrian Hill, to join us for some holiday recycling tips. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So all that wrapping paper, can I just throw that in the recycling bin?
Probably. Most places will take plain wrapping paper, but you might want to double check. The foil paper, the shiny, glittery stuff can be a no-go. If you have to toss it, if you didn't rip it all to shreds, you could use it again next year. Or you could get super crafty and make gift tags or fluff for bags, right? Yeah?
I'm not sure I'm going to be that crafty, Adrian, but I get where you're coming from. What about the Christmas tree? What's the best way to get rid of that?
Well, lots of cities and communities have programs where you can bring your tree, or they'll pick it up and turn it into mulch. Some parts of the country get a bit more creative. In Louisiana, they use old Christmas trees for coast restoration around the marshes. And if you're in a rural area and have a fish pond, Missouri recommends putting the tree right in the pond. Fish love the little nooks and crannies a tree can provide. But don't toss it in the garbage. Trees can take up a lot of space in landfills, and in some places it's illegal.
All right, so what else you got? What are the other tips to keep this Christmas nice and green?
Well, if you got new shiny gadgets and electronics, don't just toss the old ones. Look for a place that might recycle it, that will take e-waste and repurpose some of the resources that went into making it. Best Buy is now recycling most electronics, no matter where you bought them.
All right, so it's all about repurposing, recycling. What about re-gifting, Adrian? Is that a good thing to do?
It's a great thing to do. Regifting is recycling, really. I met a guy named Edward Acosta who said if his kids get two of the same thing, one of those might wind up regifted.
My kids, they get some duplicate of the toys and stuff. So what I do is some of them I return it, and some of them my wife said to keep it and regifted it to somebody who had a birthday or something.
He says it's worked out pretty well. But, Jeremy, the trick is to keep track of the person who gave you those reindeer socks so you don't actually give them back to that same person.
That could be embarrassing. Yeah. Marketplace's Adrian Hill, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And finally, while we're on the subject of a green Christmas, listen to this. In the Netherlands, they've been getting some wintry weather, just like us, and the police there are scanning the rooftops for those that are not covered with snow. That, they say, is because a clear roof is a good indication that hot attic lights are turned on, as in lights for the illegal growing of a certain plant. Hey, I don't think that's mistletoe, is it? No, I don't think that's a corncob pipe either. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson, on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Nine out of ten strawberries in this country come from California, and they are delicious. But how do you keep them that way?
You know, if you have some type of pest outbreak in your house, the first thing you do is you pull out some ant spray or something like that.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. New pesticides coming soon to a strawberry near you. That and the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.